want you to turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 3. We're going to talk about healing and continue our discussion about healing. You know, the Bible says that healing is the children's bread. It describes it that way when Jesus said to the woman about throwing crumbs to the dogs. Thank you, musicians. And he described healing as the children's bread, meaning that Jesus wants us well. He wants us healed. Now, today you might not have a sickness in your body, but I would venture to say that most of you probably know someone who does have a sickness, who you work with, a coworker or someone near you that has experienced sickness, may be currently experiencing sickness. Again, we live in a world where there is a devil who tries to put sickness on us. And as born-again believers, we have to use our authority in the Word of God and with the Word of God to avert that. We have to use what God gave us, these weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we have to know what the Word of God says so that you and I can live in divine health. I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it again. I am glad that I have divine healing. It is the provision of God. What grace that God has given us that we can have healing in our bodies. And so when we get sick and something comes and some happenstance in our life occurs and we have sickness that comes upon us, thank God that we have healing as a miracle-working power of God. That's wonderful. I love the fact that there's a hospital down in McLeod. I love that. I'm glad that McLeod is here. How many of you are glad McLeod's here? How many of you are glad that Carolina's is here? How many of you are glad that there's other clinics that are here and doctors and nurses? How many of you want to see them today? No. I mean, you're not interested in running down the hospital with a heart attack today? Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to go down there with a broken leg or a broken arm? No, you don't want that. But you're glad they're here, aren't you? You're glad that if that occurred, you could go to McLeod or urgent care or spinal doctor or whatever, and you could get assistance and help, that an ambulance might show up in an accident. You're glad for that. But isn't it better that we don't have to go to the hospital? That's better. How many just know that's better? So as for me in my house, I've decided we're going to do everything in our power to keep every form of sickness and disease out of our house forever. I can't stop the birds from flying over my head, but I sure enough can stop them from building a nest in my hair. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. So I want to know all there is about healing, and I just had the Spirit of the Lord really working on me, dealing with me about this. You know that I've been losing weight and working very hard to do that and very diligent to do that because he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him, and I've made that decision. Here's what I started realizing. What really became apparent to me, what really, really got my attention was when I started seeing my children duplicating my behavior. When I realized that my choices had begun to affect their choices and that my eating habit at 10 o'clock at night, Stephen get up out of bed, run to the kitchen, and he's got to eat. And his mother be saying, "That's just like your dad." And then she'll look at me and say, "You caused this. It's your fault." And then I started hearing him say the same thing. I would say something like this. I'd say, "It's just one sandwich. It's just one bowl of ice cream. It's just one candy bar." And then I heard Stephen run and go, "Dad, it's only one bowl of ice cream. It was this tall, but it was one bowl." And I started realizing that my choices were affecting him. And it caused a very seriousness to occur inside of me to realize that if I wanted him to duplicate another behavior, I had to create that in myself. That's why, listen, just a side note, if you want your children to love church and come to church, you got to create a habit of church. That's just a side note. That was free. That didn't cost y'all nothing. If you can create a seriousness about the house of God, they'll be serious about it. If you create a seriousness about the Word of God, they'll be serious about the Word of God. If you have a prayer life, they'll have a prayer life. If you have a reading life, they'll have a reading life because they duplicate your behavior to a certain level. Then when they're out of the house, that's why the Bible says train up a child in the way they should go. Then when they grow old, they won't depart from it. So we need to make sure that as adults, as parents, that we are raising adults that duplicate behavior we want duplicated. Amen. Say amen. If you sit at home, husbands, and all you do is play video games, some of the women, they want to get up and shout right now. I can feel it. I feel it in the room. Some of these wives be like, yeah, preach. Get it? So it made an impact on me. And here's what I'm saying is that I want to impact you today, and I want to continue to impact you with a knowledge of healing that leaves you in a position to always walk in divine health and receive your healing. How many believe we ought to receive it if we're sick, and we ought to keep off sickness if we can? Somebody say amen. And so, if you're sick in this room today, hear what I've got to say. I've preached now for four major sermons on this healing. This is one more. I want to talk about some of the hindrances. I want to discuss some of the things that could potentially harm or hurt your ability to receive your healing, because there are things that stop us from receiving our healing. And I want to address them this morning, because many of you have the intention to receive it. Many of you have begun to hear these words, and you're saying, well, how come I don't have it yet, or how come I'm not in it? Well, maybe there's something that's stopping that. Maybe there's something that's occurring. I want to give you a few things that possibly could be a deterrent or something in between you and your healing. And so I just, to discuss that, the first thing that I want you to write down is one of the reasons why somebody might struggle with healing, why they don't have it, or why they haven't received it yet, is this. Write this down. Many people don't receive their healing because they're not ready for it. Now, that may sound very simple, but how many of you know if you're going to take a test at school, you got to prepare? You have to go prepare. You've got to do some studying. You've got to get ready. I've had my kids come home and say, I made a grade or whatever. And I'll be like, how did you make that grade? And they'd say, I don't know. I'd say, did you study? Well, no. I mean, you can't make an A if you don't study for an A. Just to think that as a person who's received Christ, if that's all you needed was just to receive Christ, and you're just, everything you want comes just falling down on you, is a ridiculous idea. There has to be a training or a learning or a study or a preparation that goes into your healing. You have to prepare yourself for healing. You have to prepare yourself. How do we do that? We do that, listen to John chapter 3, and let's go to the 21st and 22nd verse. It says this, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light. How many know light is revelation? So as we do truth, then that truth sets us free. The Bible says we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And so as we learn truth, as we study truth, as we experience truth, as we inform ourselves, as we fill ourselves with truth, we have brought to ourselves light. There are many people that the only thing they have on the agenda for healing is, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Just because you know by Jesus' stripes I'm healed and you have that scripture memorized, doesn't mean that it's part of the light system of your life, that you actually have light. It just means that you have a memory and a brain. Many people have a memory and a brain, and they act as if because they quoted a scripture that somehow that meant that they were capable of receiving whatever God had for them. But it's not true. He said that he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, and that they are wrought in God. And these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Just because somebody says he believes does not mean that he has the right things necessary for healing. Why? Because each individual has a part to play in their healing. Look at somebody and say, you have a part to play in your healing. You know, somebody once said this, all diseases are curable. But not all sickness and sick people, not all sick people get cured. All sickness is curable, but not all sick people end up cured. Because God has taken care of every sickness. He's not taking care of sickness. He already took care of sickness. By his stripes, you were healed. That's past tense. It's done. So whatever sickness you're going to face has already been taken care of. Whatever disease comes your way, it's already been fixed. It's already been healed. He's not going to heal it. He already healed it. But that doesn't mean you. See, just because all sickness and disease is curable, there's something you have to do to receive the cure for you. Does everybody understand what I just said? Y'all awful quiet. Maybe we should keep singing. You know what it is, y'all thinking storm. Don't worry, I'm going to let y'all out early. There are many people that desire to be healed, but one reason or another, they don't meet the conditions necessary in God's word, and therefore they don't receive their healing. There are conditions within the word of God that we must meet. You know, they don't even meet those conditions. There are people in this world. Let's just talk about salvation. If you look throughout the world, there are people in this world that need salvation. Jesus has already provided that salvation for all of us, every single one of us. And yet they don't meet the conditions necessary to receive their salvation. Just because it's there, just because he's already taken care of all sin, doesn't mean that you are walking in that forgiveness unless you meet the conditions. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Now, if you don't do that, you didn't meet the conditions necessary for salvation. So that means that even though it's provided, you can't necessarily tap into or walk in it. Somebody say amen. Amen. So there are many people that they don't understand that it's an individual thing and that you have to do your part in healing, that you have to be prepared for healing. Even if a gift is manifested and something happens that, you know, a manifestation of God's spirit in our church and miracle working power and healing power is available, that doesn't mean, you know, when Jesus was there, the Bible says that he was there on the earth and people were near him and there were some that didn't get healed. Not many were healed there. Save he had laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them because of their unbelief. The miracle power of God was there to heal, but that didn't mean they got healed because they had not done their part to receive the healing. Look at somebody and say, you got to do something. You've got to be prepared. So conditions have to be met. There are other conditions that must be met. Divine healing is not a merited thing. You don't earn divine healing. Getting saved and doing good things doesn't necessarily merit salvation. Divine healing is not given because you've been saved longer than somebody else. The newborn Christian has just as much right to divine healing as somebody who has been saved many, many years. So everybody in this room has a right to divine healing, but some receive, some don't. That's not because of God, because if it was, that would make God a respecter of person. If he would heal you and not heal me, then he loves you more than he loves me. But how many know he doesn't love anybody more than he loves? You can just point at me. He doesn't love anybody more than he loves Pastor. That's kind of funny right there. You have to be prepared. You have to be prepared for healing. It's kind of like my iPhone, you know. I mean, if I took my iPhone and I went to YouTube and I turned it on and the video started playing, amen. How many know if I didn't turn up the volume, I couldn't hear what was playing on the phone? So just because it's there, just because it's going, doesn't mean you've heard it. Doesn't mean just like that. Your spirit, you've got to get this in your spirit. And so we can see it's important that you prepare. So instruction comes first. You have to instruct yourself into healing. Listen to me. It doesn't come because you casually take on healing or whatever. You've got to engulf yourself and ingrain yourself and embed yourself in healing scriptures and in healing as a principle. You've got to get in there and go after it. You've got to go after it and continue to go after it and just keep going even when the signs aren't there. You got to keep going after your healing. You can't allow your mouth to change. You can't allow your thinking to change. You can't allow people to get embedded in you. You can't allow there's all kinds of distractions that will keep you. You got to stay focused and stay committed to your healing. Somebody ought to say amen. Mark 6, 1 through 6 says this. He went out thence and he came to his own country. This is Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Went to his own country. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in their synagogues. Many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is given that everything that he could do these mighty works which are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Jonas, Judah, and Simon? And are not these his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. And he could dare. It didn't say he would dare. This is critical that you understand. It wasn't because he didn't want to. It says he could there. Is it there? And he could there do no mighty works except he laid his hands on a few sick folk and he healed them. And then it goes on to say this. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about other villages teaching. Now listen. The thing that withheld was unbelief. I want to add to that idea of unbelief, because we think of unbelief as you just didn't believe it. But you see, if you don't have belief in this, you won't go find it. I mean, think about what I just said. I mean, there are a lot of people that say, well, I believe. Well, you believe in the one scripture you know. I think that's real good right there. You believe in the one chapter you read. But you haven't, I mean, how much belief do you really have? Do you really believe the cure for your disease? Do you really believe that that what you need? I mean, if we really believe this word from cover to cover, do you understand that unbelief would include the fact that you had not taken the time to find what your miracle is or where your miracle is? And it's not, and listen, miracles are independent of everybody else. You can only get them for you. I can't get them for you. Only you can get them for you. I can't make that happen for you. Only God can make that happen for you. And we got people running around. All they want to do is get somebody to lay hands on them at some moment because they're just waiting on that one miracle moment that's going to occur, and they become something other than faith. And they have their faith in something other than God. They put their faith in a man, or they put their trust in something else. Listen, if you believe God, this is His word. This is it. If I believe God, then this is what I believe. I wish somebody would shout. That was real good right there. It's not just what comes out of a man's mouth. It's what comes out of that word. You got to get the word. Look at somebody and say, you got to get the word. You got to get the word for you. You got to get what God said to you, the one that matters to you, that works for you. It might not make sense to anybody else. I've heard some people come to me and say, the Lord told me, and they said some scripture, I couldn't even get a meaning out of it. Have y'all ever had anybody do that? Come to you and say, they read something, the Lord told me today. And they're telling you how they got such great revelation and how they heard God, and God told them to go and build a business off this scripture that says, go eat no more. And I'm thinking, how did you get go eat no more, go start a business? Have y'all ever heard that? Have y'all had anybody do that? Listen to what happened to me. When I was younger, I was just trying to figure out what to do with my life, and school was an issue for me. I felt very, very compelled that an education was very important. I didn't want to go into the ministry without having an education. And I had, I had my high school diploma and I had quit college. I'd gone 3 years, I'd flunked out. I'll be real honest with you, because I played too much basketball and had spent too much time with women. Did I just say that? Don't nobody tell my wife I said that. That's not true. She knew. Anyway, when I started dating her, I was dating a lot of girls, so she knew. Anyway, I flunked out of school. I'm 50 now. I can talk about when I was 20. That's 30 years ago, folks. Amen. So anyway, I quit. I just walked out. And time had passed, and now I know it's time to go back, finish my degree. I realized how foolish I was. Here's this smart guy who just didn't do what he was supposed to do, who just didn't have any discipline and just didn't take and commit to it. You know, adult students end up being better students. I don't know whether y'all know that or not, because now we know. When we go back to school, we take it much more serious than we did when we were just kids playing intramural basketball. So anyway, I got to praying about this and got to praying about this and got to praying about this. And the Lord gave me one scripture. That might not mean anything to anybody else. It might not mean a thing. It might not have anything to do. And to you, you'd say, how was that a plan? How in the world was that a plan? When I heard this scripture in my spirit, the Lord said to me, through desire, I believe it's Proverbs 18:1, through desire, a man having separated himself seeks after it intermeddleth all wisdom. Now, I'm praying one day. I'm waiting on the Lord. I heard the Lord say to me, Proverbs 18:1. I turned to Proverbs 18:1. I believe it's Proverbs 18:1. Pretty sure it's Proverbs 18. Turn there. Somebody make sure I'm at the right one. Proverbs 18:1. Who's got it? Proverbs 18:1. Is that right? Somebody said, well, you heard from me. How you forget? Because I done gone to school and got my education. Is that right? There it is, 18:1. Proverbs 18, through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeks after and intermeddleth with all wisdom. That one scripture, listen to me, became a 7-year plan for total education of my life. To get back into school, because I heard from God and it became more than just a scripture to me. It became revelation and the light of God shined on it. As you're praying in your life and you're looking for your future and you're trying to define out and get revelation, everything and every direction you need is inside that book. The Bible contains everything for the direction of your life. There's nothing missing inside that book. And He wrote that book not to the world, but to you, the world. He wrote that to you. He didn't just write that to me. He wrote that to you. As if you were the only person that existed on planet Earth, that you were the only one that ever lived, he wrote that book. And he had written that before you were in your mother's womb. And he wrote that book to you. Don't you understand? See, some people think it's a book just to everybody else. But you don't understand. From Genesis 1 until the end of Revelation, every page written in that book was written to you. When I opened that, I realized it's not just general revelation for the world. I don't think you guys are hearing what I'm trying to say. Does everybody understand what I just said? That God wrote that book, and that's why unbelief will keep you from having what you need in God, because you think that book was written just for a few scriptures for you. But that book was written for every scripture for you, every plan of God. Every miracle is prescribed in that book. He said, this book is medicine to all your flesh. There's nothing about you and any part of your flesh that God has not provided medicine inside that book for it. The plans of God for your future are inside that book. The plans for your marriage and all that comes, the plans for your children are in that book. Everything we need from God, somebody ought to shout out amen. His word was written to me. I'm the only one he wrote it to. You understand? When I read it, I don't read it like he read it to you or he wrote it for you. When he talks about things in there, I realize he wrote those for me. When he told me to forgive, I don't look at other people and think, boy, I hope they forgive. God didn't write that just to them. He wrote to me, forgive. He said, you can't have Steve bitter. You can't have bitterness in your life, Steve. You can't have sickness in your life, Steve. He said that by his stripes, Steve McCart was healed. He didn't just say that you were healed, Brian. He said that Stephen McCart was healed. Somebody in here shout amen.
Amen.
I need a little preaching support. Y'all about as quiet as a house rat. Take one more time, shout. Help me out. Feel like I'm preaching alone, but if I got to preach by myself, I just go right ahead. Because if you ain't getting blessed, I am anyhow. I realize that he wants me blessed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And inside this book is every blessing I'll ever need or ever want. Everything, every desire of my heart. He said he would give me the desires of my heart. Those desires are inside that book. He said he'd never leave me and he'd never forsake me. That means that that word will never leave me and that word will never forsake me. It's not just some nebulous idea of a God who's out there somewhere. God said, I'll never leave you because I gave you the book. Here's the book right here. These words are never going anywhere. These words are never going to change. If I said it, I said it, and that's the way it settles it. I don't need you to believe it for it to be real. It's real whether you believe it or not. If you'll just tap right in, grab right on, step right in, reattach yourself to the word of God, it'll never leave you. It'll never get the word in your mouth. The word of faith is nigh thee, even in your mouth, which is the word of faith which we preach. God said, if you'll get his word in your mouth, you can transform the world that you live in. You can change your circumstances, change your life, change your health, change your job, change your... Somebody say, that word is mine. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. The entrance of his word brings me light. God's going to illuminate my path. God's got a plan for my life. God knows where he wants to take me. He knows how he wants to deliver me. He knows how to get me out of every spot, every trouble, every disaster, every situation. God will protect me. God will uphold me with the power of his word. God and his word. I just preach myself happy. Whew. They heard him say it, but they didn't believe it. And he could there do no mighty works. But look what happened when they did believe. In just a few verses later, verses 54 through 56, it says this, and when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. They ran that whole region round about and began to carry their beds, carry about in beds those that were sick. And that heard who he was. They brought in people on beds, sick people, diseased people. They couldn't walk themselves, crippled folk, Think about this. This is only a few verses later. He went to a town where nobody, not very few people, could even get healed because of their unbelief. But in the same token, he comes across in this ship, walks out, and the people that did believe, that understood that God had come, Jesus in the flesh, was standing in front of them. They brought beds. They carried in those that were sick, and they heard who he was, where they heard where he was. Look at the next verse. It goes on to say, and next verse. Next verse. Shazam. And whithersoever he entered into villages. Whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets. I mean, if you think about what I'm saying here. In a town just down the road, they got nothing. Same Jesus, same God, same power, same anointing, same healing virtue. Nothing down the road. But they laid the sick in the streets and bought him that he might touch, that they might touch, if it were just the borders of his garment. And as many. There was a difference between the touch down the street. There was a difference between the touch down the road. You can tell me whatever you want to. Say, I've never seen a miracle. It's because you don't believe in one. I'm going to tell you something. He that believes, all things are possible to him that believes. Nothing is impossible to him that believes. I don't know what your experience is, but I serve a God who's alive. He was alive yesterday. He's alive today. And he'll be alive for every need I've got tomorrow. He took care of me yesterday. He's going to take care of me today. And he's going to take care of me tomorrow. Can I testify for you? You don't mind, do you? I know you're a real private person. So if you say no, I'll say no. It's okay. Several weeks ago, Miss Shirley came to me. Now, she had previously, years ago, had an experience where she fought cancer in her body. She came to me a few weeks ago and she said, Pastor Steve, I need you to pray for me. I went to the doctor and they told me they have found another mass in my body. And she was very concerned about it, only from a natural standpoint. She said, I have no worries, though. In my spirit, I don't have any worries whatsoever. Because the Jesus that healed me then, because the Jesus that kept me then, he's the same one who keep me now. They just told her straight up, this was serious. They knew what it was. We laid hands on, we believed, we stood in faith. She went to the doctor, they did the biopsy, they couldn't find nothing, the thing is gone. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's who I serve. I'll testify for her. I've already done it, but I'm going to testify again. Amen. This lady right here, I got a phone call that she had broke her neck. And what happened was she decided to dive in. No, I'm just kidding. She she was on top of one of those horse feeders. You know, the ones that got the look like grate on them? And so she was standing there, and she went to jump, or she tripped or slipped or something, and went to jump into this hay, but landed on her head like a diving board, like a pool. When she did, she broke her neck. This lady got up, grabbed her neck with her hands, climbed out of the horse feeder, walked about a quarter of a mile, I don't know how far it was, long way from that to her house, to call somebody to come get her, held her neck in her hands while she went to the hospital with a broken neck. We went up there and laid hands on her and prayed for her. They weren't sure what the outcome was going to be. She could have been paralyzed from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. It was a miracle of God. That swelling went down. Look at her today. Don't tell me. Don't tell me Jesus doesn't heal. Don't tell me Jesus doesn't keep safe. Don't tell me Jesus doesn't turn stuff around. Don't tell me. I've already been too far. I've already experienced too much. I've already had too much of God. And if he'll do it for them, bless God, he'll do it for you. If he'll do it for them, he'll do it for you. There's nothing impossible with God, only with man. But with God, all things are possible. I wish somebody shout, it's possible.
It's possible.
My miracle's possible. My healing is possible. I don't care what the doctor said. Yes, we listen to them. Yes, we do what they say. Yes, we respect their authority. Yes, we appreciate and respect what they have accomplished in their lives with their education. Thank God for it. And in need, thank God for them. But at the end of the day, they're not the healer. Jesus will still be the healer. And you've got to put your faith in Jesus even if you go to the doctor. Jesus is still the healer. He's still in the healing business. He'll heal us. He'll keep us. I always thought it was interesting. It says here that if they could touch just the borders of his garment, and as many as had touched him, they were made whole. So as many as could touch him were made whole. As many, I wonder if that means that some couldn't touch him. Or some didn't touch him. Is it possible that some were willing to fight through the crowd and some weren't? Is it possible that some were willing to go the extra mile to get to town when some weren't? Is that possible? I think it is. Because as many as touched him, so there were some who didn't. Could you imagine if you got just close enough and you thought, I just can't. That's just too much trouble to get through. And you're watching folks walk away, and instead of coming in on a bed, they're walking away with the bed. Amen. Instead of coming in on a crutch, they're walking away with it over their shoulder. And you just couldn't quite get there. Now, what it really means is this. Let me give you another. I did some research on this, and according to the Bible, he wore a priestly robe. And in that priestly robe, on the bottom of it were little balls. Those little balls were the exact number of the books of the Bible at that time. In other words, the bottom of that robe had balls on it. Each one of those balls represented a book of the Bible. What this is really saying is as many as could touch the Word. And the Word became flesh. Y'all didn't get what I said. You didn't hear what I'm saying. You don't know what I'm saying. It's not just touching Jesus in your thoughts. It's not just touching him with an idea. It's not just a good idea. If you got on, you grabbed the Word. You touched the Word. You got your Word. I know I'm a little radical, but I'm telling you something. Listen, there's hindrances to healing. And one of them is you're not getting the Word. Don't just come on Sunday and let Pastor Steve preach and that be enough. Go home, open the book up, read, put your finger in that thing. God, speak to me. This is only one. I'm supposed to got. I got like seven. I'm going to read them, okay? Second, number two. Many are not healed because they are questioning whether or not it's the will of God for them to be healed. Let me answer that. It is his will. It bothers me when all preachers say this. God can. God can heal you. God can bless you. God can do anything. That's a wrong statement. God will. He will heal you. He will bless you. And he will do the impossible. That's a big difference. You know, that's a big difference. It's one word, but it makes a whole heap of difference between God can. One is hope. One is faith. Not just God can, but God will. Not only will he, but he'll do it for me because it is God's will to heal me. Not just God's will to heal her or him, but it's God's will to heal me. Third, many don't receive healing because they have something in their life. Ooh. Hidden sins. Now, I am not suggesting that everybody in this room, that because they're not healed, and this is not a judgment of whether or not God healed somebody based on their sin. You don't look at somebody and say, well, they're not healed because they've got sin. Who was the Bible written to? The only one you're judging is. So the first place you ought to look is, where am I? Where am I with God? Is there anything in me? I was a little disappointed. Please don't do this to me. Just don't do this to me, okay? I'm asking you. Look at somebody and say, I will not do this to my pastor because I love my pastor and my church too much. And I won't do this to God either. So I'm sitting at the ball field. Lady comes up. She starts talking to me about her pastor. She does not know I'm a pastor. I try to live in anonymity anymore. Truly, I try to hide. I used to be the one, I'd wear a preacher shirt, you know, preacher. Until I started to realize we got bigger and now everybody knows me. Now I try to hide. I'm like, I don't want to do nothing. Because everybody goes, preacher. You know, if you do anything wrong, say the wrong thing, preacher wouldn't act that way. Yeah. Oh, yes, he would. So I don't want you to know. So she's just running her mouth. She's going on about preaching, you know, my preacher, my church. Then this girl walks up, and they start talking. She says, "There's this new club in town. It is the finest club. Epic? Anybody heard of the Epic Club? Don't raise your hands. I know you've been there. I know. I know. See, I heard." And she starts going off about, they've done it right. They've done it right. It's a great place. So she just got done talking to me about her church and her preacher, and now she's talking to him about the club and taking shots. If you wear a Family Worship Center shirt to the gas station, please do not cuss out your wife. You just said, I will not do this to my pastor. I will not do this to my church. Huh? Amen. That's why we careful. We don't put bumper stickers on cars because we don't want y'all giving them the high five and all that when they go, you know, you're number one, buddy. You're number one coming around the corner or something with Family Worship Center. That's pretty funny, by the way. That's seriously. Think about what you're doing. I mean, she didn't even think about it. She's talking to me about a preacher. Now she's talking about the clubs and the shots. What? Married woman, talking about the club with a friend. Oh, yeah, we got to go to the club together. Jesus knows. I don't know why I can't get healed. I just don't know. Jesus knows. I'm almost done. First person you examine is you. Make sure there's nothing in you. Every person in this room is drawn away by his own lust. Lust is not a sin unless it conceives. You are not immune to temptation. Temptation is for everyone. You're not immune from that. But when it conceives, when that lust conceives, it brings forth. So don't condemn yourself because you were tempted. But when you get, the Bible says he makes a way of escape for every temptation. There's no temptation becoming man that he has not made a way of escape. There's a button on that remote. There's an off button on that computer. Preaching real good. Jesus knows. He doesn't condemn us. I just said there are reasons why people don't get healed. And some of them have nothing to do with faith whatsoever. There are hindrances to healing, and we need to remove every roadblock. I'm not trying to condemn you. God didn't come to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. If you're in this room struggling with things, then struggle your way right out. Struggle your way to your miracle. Struggle to overcome. Get out of this thing. Get your faith intact, and then you can give yourself deliverance. Somebody say amen. Amen. Many people hold grudges in their heart. According to the way I read the word, that's a sin. Also, there are many people who are too proud, spiritually too proud. I want to read directly from Brother Hagin's book. Because I feel like this is pertinent to everybody in this room. Now listen, this is straight out of Brother Hagin's book. This is not Steve McCart speaking. This is a great man of God who's gone on to be with the Lord, who is, in my opinion, one of the great men prophet. He was a prophet in our generation. The devil has made many people whom he could not get any other way so spiritually proud that he's tearing them apart. Then there are those who have an unforgiving spirit. Oh, you never see that on the outside. When you see them, they're always nice. They're lovely. They say, that's all right. Don't worry about it. That's all right. But down on the inside, they're saying, I tell you what, I'll get even with you. Just wait. I've got your number. You just wait. That unforgiving spirit will cause them to have sickness that they can't get rid of. I've seen a lot of people in this category. Before they can get anything from God, they have to publicly ask for forgiveness. I'm not like some people who say that everybody ought to get up and confess everything. I don't think that's quite right. But if somebody has an unforgiving spirit which has torn a church apart, then that individual should do something publicly. And when he does, it will erase the darkness. Immediately there will become a release. Thus, many people who are wanting to be healed are holding back the very thing they desire, their healing, by not coming into God's word fully, coming in line. Bitterness is one of the greatest enemies in the human spirit. If allowed to continue, it will poison and ruin the spirit. Bitterness in the heart will not only hinder you from receiving from God, but if left unchecked, it can and will hinder your entire family. In fact, as a pastor, I'd rather have a bunch of people who had open sin in their lives than a bunch of people who had a root of bitterness deep down on the inside of them. The reason is that I can get to sinners a lot quicker with the word than I can with those dominated by a root of bitterness. If a person has had bitterness very long, it has become so encrusted in them that he has thrown up barriers in his spirit to God, and God's word cannot penetrate it. He has rejected what God has to say. Also, if you are full of bitterness, you can't walk in love, and faith worketh by love. These are just a few areas to start checking your life if you need healing, but if you have a problem with receiving it. I thought that was just fantastic. Had a woman years ago, and I was just a teenager, probably 18 or 19 years old. I was in college. My mom, I came up from Florida from Bible school, and I came up here just to finish my story. I ended up finishing college. I got degrees and all that stuff, so that's over. But I came up one of those college weekends to see my parents, and my mom really wanted me to pray for this lady. There's always been a touch on my life in the area of healing, especially for the sickness of cancer. And I've seen a lot of cancers leave in my ministry. It's just been one of those things. I just don't know how to explain that other than God does it. And so I went to this lady's house with my mother, who was in stage 4 cancer, and they'd only given her weeks to live. Liver failure, kidney failure. They'd sent her home, hospice situation. And my mom said, Steve, I want you to go pray for her. So I went in the house, and I get in this house, and she's dying. There's no doubt about it. And I go to lay hands on her, and I hear the Lord at 18, 19 years old. I hear the Lord say to me, she has unforgiveness in her heart. So my mom's waiting on me to lay hands on this woman and, you know, shundai and scream a little bit. I stopped, and I said, ma'am, I was just listening to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit told me you have unforgiveness in your heart, and that's why you can't get your healing. She yelled out, you're right! My mom's looking at me like I was, what did you just say? You know, like she's like going to hit me, you know. And anyway, this lady is, you're right! My husband left me. And he left me destitute. He left me with nothing. He left me, he hurt me worse than any man could ever hurt a woman. I mean, she just went on for minutes. And I just can't forgive him. I hate him. I hate him. I said, well, the Lord told me if you'll let that go, he'll heal you. She said, how? I said, we're going to pray, and then you're going to will to forgive. You don't have to feel it. You will. The Bible says, I will to forgive. I will to. I use my will to forgive. I don't need to come to you and beg you for forgiveness. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I said that about you. I just need to will myself to forgive. I will to forgive. We got done praying, and a peace came over this lady. I've just been like, God just fell on her. Looked like wax. We left the house. She went back to the doctor. The stage 4 cancer was completely gone. As far as I know, she's still alive today. That's how it works. So we can't have these things in our life. Write down number 4. Or should this be 5? I'm not sure. 4. I skipped 5. I don't know where 5 went. 4. Many don't receive healing because they are relying on the arm of the flesh. They put their trust in men. Your trust has to be in God. Number 6. Many people do not get healed because they don't desire anything. They just stay in hope. They don't set a date for their deliverance. And then the last one, number 7, many people don't receive because they are spiritually lukewarm. I was praying, and I want to leave you with this thought. The Lord spoke something so profound to me today. I heard this in my spirit. It was this morning. And I got the scripture, Isaiah 1:19, and with this I'm finished. It says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. How many of you want to eat the good of the land? Amen. The sky is the limit for all of us. God has, I know. The sky is the limit for all of us. There's a ticket we can punch for ourselves. And as I'm thinking about this and where God wants to take even my own life, I just was praying about my own situation where God wanted to take me. And I've recently heard the Lord tell me that this year and where God's going with this is, anyway, I just want to, spectacular. I've just been spending time in that vein and hearing what God had to say about things and where God wants to place you and place me and place this church and place others. I'm your pastor, so I'm talking to you. And I started thinking about all those, and here's what the Lord said to me. I heard this. He said, Steve, obedience is your acceptance of my invitation. If God has invited us to go higher, it's my obedience that accepts that invitation. If God has a plan for my life that's spectacular, and he's invited me to go there, it's only my obedience that he has set the RSVP for me. How many understand what I just said? That's what he said. I've given you an RSVP to go to the next level. And I heard him, and your obedience is the acceptance of my invitation. That's how we accept God's invitation, is we obey. We obey his word. This morning, I want to tell you something. Healing belongs to you. Don't let anything rob you of